Hello and welcome to Grow Global. I am your host, Patricia Demetrio. Welcome to Life Smart Education's Grow Global podcast here on WCBE Radio. I am so happy to be here with you today. On episode 3, we are going to be talking about mentoring and its importance in today's society. Grow Global is sponsored by Platinum Credit Group. They help individuals and organizations with financial education, helping them with startup loans and working capital. They provide in-depth credit, income, and financial background reviews before submitting applications to lenders on business owners' behalf. We are truly grateful to Platinum Credit Group for helping to fund this podcast, which in part helps to make this show possible. So today I am going to be speaking with Michelle Barron. She is going to be speaking with us today about the importance of mentorship. It's something that we shouldn't take for granted. I know that the success that young people find today is very profound, and usually it's because of the support and help that they get from those within the community who have been there before and done the things that a lot of these young people are seeking to do. Mentorship is really a great way to help our young people find the skills and the necessary work that they need to do to be successful in the things that they want to become in life. And what better way to do that than through mentorship? She started her career in education in 2001, working as a teacher for the Moravia Central School District. She is an assistant director at the State University of New York. She served as a career service advisor at State University of New York for the past 11 years. She served as an assessment administrator at the National Assessment of Educational Progress. She is an educator, entrepreneur, consultant, and designer. She graduated summa cum laude in 2003 with a master's degree in education from the State University of New York. Please welcome with me today, Michelle Barron. Welcome to Grow Global. Thank you so much for being with me today. I'm going to go ahead and just dive right in with the information that we're going to be talking about today. I know you have some experience that will be very helpful to our listeners. It seems that we are living in a very individualistic world today. How can people accept the fact that everybody essentially needs a mentor?
Absolutely. We are in a very strange and changing world right now. It has always been that way, but it is even more so now. And it's not just that young people need mentors. It's we all need to find different ways to think about things, to learn and to grow. And so, yes, there is this individual, let's focus on kind of our own needs or desires or whatever that is. There is a cultural piece to that, but there is also a need to learn and to know things from people who might have experienced it different than you, or have gone through something before, or have seen things from a fresh perspective. So everyone needs to engage in these kinds of relationships, whether we're defining them as formal mentorships or informal or whatever that is. Each and every one of us could benefit from learning from other people who have walked in different shoes or the same shoes in different times.
Wow, that's so true. I've never really had a mentor per se. I've always looked at other people and saw how they live their life. But having that person that really kind of looks at you and kind of help you walk in your future endeavors or help you with the things that you may want to do is so essential to success and even your self-esteem and how you feel about yourself. And there's so many things about that I think that are valuable that a lot of kids don't have access to. So what is the role essentially of a mentor in a child's life, whether, like you said, you call it a mentor or something else? What is that role? What does it look like?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of it is really just offering kind of help, support, any kind of guidance, but just being an extra an extra voice or an extra person to look to. As you had mentioned, it's not always that there is somebody that is meeting with you every single day and asking you questions and saying, are you keeping up with your goals? And there are, those are things too, that's where some of those formal relationships can come in and say, what is your goal? What are you doing? What's your action plan? What are the ways that you are planning to accomplish this? Mm-hmm. But those things can happen in short little moments too. So that's a lot of the work that I do. I don't meet with students long-term. I meet with students, they're coming in, they're going out, coming into college, leaving college. And in both of those instances, sometimes it's just a quick adjustment that having somebody with those experiences can provide a moment, or you can look at those folks and say, okay, this is the way they did it. And that looks like a good path. Let me try that. And so following folks, whether it's formal or not, can go a long way too. Those people that we can't always get access to, the people we would love. There's all kinds of people I would love to be my mentor. The people that we want to be our mentors are often desirable for a variety of reasons and to a variety of people because they have things to offer. And so we can't always have the full formal relationship, but we can follow them, we can learn from them, we can grow with them, and we can add, when possible, we can add value to them too. And that is when the synergy really starts going.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think a lot of times about kids and their parents. I mean, a parent can look like a mentor, but I don't know if they can really be a mentor. Is that true?
Yes, parents and mentors have different roles, different places there. And there are things, you know, I have two children, and the way that I lead and I guide them is going to be different than the way that I might lead one of my students or even in any kind of community organizations or affinities you might have. It is a little bit different, but our young people need other voices as well, because we have this limited worldview that comes within our lived experience, and that's different for each one of us. Now, there's a lot of language around social capital and what are the things that we don't know, and having other people to say, okay, well, here's a situation at home with whatever that home situation is. Families are very, very diverse, the way that they're represented, and we don't always understand that, and we don't always need to, right? That's a lot of the mindset stuff too. I mean, it is important to know what's going on at home, but as far as who you want to be, we get to help those students, those young people, those adults, whoever that is, understand that, okay, this is where I come from, but what are the things that I need to do to either honor and respect those traditions or move forward into the thing that I want to do, or I'm called to do, or I am passionate about doing. So it is both, and people outside of a family unit do have a lot of value that they can add to that experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true. And I think hearing it from someone who is not a family or a parent, kids tend to take that a little bit more seriously. I mean, this is how I see it, but you know, I know how my daughter is when I tell her something, but someone else could tell her the same thing. And when they say it, it's a lot more impactful. And she'll really be like, oh, okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and my daughter, I learned that. My daughter would not learn from me. She simply would not, even as a young toddler. And I had to accept that she's going to need to get it from other people.
Right. And I guess that's okay, right? That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how can you gain access to a mentor in today's society?
There are so many more tools and ways for you to get access to people now. So it really is incredible. And, you know, in my generation, I didn't grow up with this full level of access that we have on digital platforms between the internet and with our phones and all of the different social media that are available, and thought leaders and community leaders and all of those folks are on many of these platforms. Now, they're not everywhere, and that is something for our students to learn too, or for our young people to learn, is we cannot be in all of these spaces. Each one can serve different purposes, but we can find some of those folks that we would like to learn from on those platforms and in real life. So it's going to be important, and especially as we are in this transition point technologically, one is usually a little bit more comfortable for people than others, than the other. But it is this both and. We have to get comfortable in this virtual space. This creates an opportunity that I never had before, the ability to have this conversation and this relationship built virtually. But if all we're doing is virtual, then we really don't know the human dynamic of getting together kind of face-to-face, person-to-person. So what does that look like in your own community? Where are the places? Is there something within your school? Is there something within your neighborhood, within your faith community, any of those places? Because it's really imperative that we don't lose that human element with the power of technology. And I love technology. There's a lot of power here, but we really also need to learn this human capacity in the live and real too.
Yeah, I could see that happening. People losing touch with like the in-person kind of communication and, you know, relationships are different in person than virtually, I think, right? So that is a scary thing, you know. I can easily see that happening.
Yes, and we need to be taught both the same, you know. How many, I am now at the point that I have to ask my children, all right, how am I going to do this thing? I don't know how to use our TV anymore because I don't really, there's all these different platforms and I don't really watch it. So I have to ask them, and I need to teach my children, do you know how to actually make a phone call? You know, the basic tasks, many of those things that we take for granted when we've been at it a long time, those are those pieces that often are missing, and they're very small things that can make a very big difference.
Yeah, and I think saying that is really important so people can hear how the different dynamics work with technology, meeting people, and just having just access to the technology to maybe even reach out to someone who you would maybe want to be a mentor or just follow, and getting that mentorship, I guess, vicariously through maybe a blog or something that they may be speaking about. Just, you know, someone that you follow, that you look up to, that can teach you, essentially, even if they can't really be your one-to-one personal mentor. There's the access to doing these kinds of things is so great. It can be overwhelming at times. There's so much out there, right?
yes, absolutely. But again, that's the power in a good mentor, is to help give you a little bit of discernment in that, because there's so much information, there's so much power out there, but we do get overwhelmed. And so a lot of times that professional, that person who's been through it, can cut through the noise. And that's one of those other really valuable things. It's like, okay, here's this big thing I'm contemplating. Right. How do I get to it? And that's the power of especially kind of professional expertise and credibility, is you really can get to the matter of things much quicker if you're working with somebody who is skilled in that.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So nowadays, divorce rates are skyrocketing and many children are growing up without a father or a mother. You know, can a mentor provide the emotional support that other parents could not provide, perhaps?
Yeah, that's a tough question. And I think maybe, or a yes, and there is, you know, there is always this element to the home dynamic that will have a big impact. But there are also these extra layers of adult connection that really can hold on. And especially when students or young people are going through a hard time, to know that there is a trusted adult who looks to them, who cares for them, who shows an interest outside of what is going on at home. And they're not always able to share everything that is happening there. There's some hard things that are going on in many of our homes today. And again, it's always been that way. But again, if you have those other people that you know, okay, that person has my back when I'm really at this low spot, I know that I can go to them. Or sometimes just having that one thing that we're saying to somebody when they're in a spot can encourage them to say, no, you're doing great. I see you. You know, I see what the effort that you've made. I see how you've learned. I see you making progress. Keep at it. And sometimes just that little extra nudge, again, they might have to go home and it could be a tough spot. They might not have a home to go to. And they can still work through some of these things, even as they're having to wrestle with hard things. And we can be a part of helping them move forward despite those situations.
so important too. I've heard a lot about kids, homeless kids that are going to school, but they don't have a home. I mean, having a mentor, someone to help you, my goodness, that is just so important and valuable to so many kids that are in this situation. I didn't realize what a big homeless problem we had within the schools. I didn't know there were so many kids that didn't have a home.
And that's something that is hard to learn and take in. And college students is the same. And when you realize that, it does change your perspective on what these students have to overcome just to get this education at times.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so what are the lessons, values, ethics that a mentor should teach to his or her mentee?
Yeah, one of the things that I, in any student interaction when I am working with a student, what I try to do is to help them understand how important general skills are, right? Mm-hmm. Just the basics of, we do a lot of career readiness kind of competencies and those things, but what is it that no matter what changes, these skills are going to be valuable for you moving forward. So we talk communication skills, leadership skills, problem solving. How do you work with people? How do you work with people who are different than you? So again, we tend to use the National Association of Colleges and Employers, the career readiness competencies, but K-12 has different things. You know, there's all kinds of frameworks for those skills, but really the soft skills, the professional skills, and Mindset work is helping them understand who they are and that they are capable. And these foundations that we are building with them through their education is qualifying them and preparing them if they're doing those things, right? Mm-hmm. But they also have to be a part of it. They have to be able to take that initiative, but put it all together and have the right click, I guess I call it, when the spark that shows, you know, I do interviews with students and really a lot of times it's just looking for that spark. And if we can help them see, it's just one little thing that will make the difference and let's work on that, you know, so.
Yeah. And having that grit, having that something about yourself to want to succeed. And That's something that not every person has, right? I mean,
yes. And so that's important. And that can be teachable. It really can be teachable.
Wow, that can be teachable. Mm-hmm. That's good to know. Because I thought either you had it or you didn't, right?
I think what I am seeing within, again, like I'm thinking right now I'm working with freshmen, early college students with career decision-making things. And I work with seniors and when they're on their way out too, but that population mm-hmm. in particular, they're so nervous about, and we're in a strange time, but they're nervous about making changes, doing something different, disappointing someone, wasting their time and money at college. And they just, again, need a little bit of, here's what we're looking for. Here's the spark. You've got one of these things. Maybe you don't have all of them, but here, let's focus strengths-based work. Let's focus on what those things are that are you're good at, your skills, your values, your interests. How does it align? And you can find the way, you can overcome, and we can, if there's a gap, then you figure out how to work around it, and you can find that spark. However, even if it's not natural, or if you're, I'm an introvert, I give this all the time. People, I now am in front of people regularly and talking to them, but this is not my natural state, and this was a learned skill. Mm-hmm. This is an important skill, and so I knew that I had to develop my ability here. And so I use that as an example myself, is I can do this, and if I can do this, I believe that you can do it as well.
Okay. Wow, that's good. So you can be the example as well, right?
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's what we have to do. We have to show them we can do this too. And we need to tell our stories. We need to tell our stories, even the ones that aren't perfect. Those are the best ones to know, oh, that person, that Michelle, she's got it all together. No, I don't. And neither do you, but here's what I'm doing and here's what I've done, and I'm getting better. And I have failed. And when I failed, here's how I got myself back up and here's what I did different. And then they're like, oh, okay, yeah, well, I can do that too.
That's very powerful when you You can learn from your mistakes and use it to show someone else how, you know, no one's perfect, right? And this is how you build character and how you overcome and persevere. It's a journey, right? It's Absolutely. All a journey. So some people might think that in order to become a mentor, you have to be a football coach or even a motivational speaker, or you need to have some type of leadership role at a company. How can we show our audience that you do not need to have any of these jobs in order to be a mentor to someone who is in need?
You do not need to be anyone special at all to be a mentor. I believe that with all of my heart. What you need is that bit of heart, I think, and interest in helping other people become better versions of themselves, and being willing to give a little bit of yourself, right? There are different layers. There are some people that are going to be able to pour and invest all kinds of things into one person or to many people. Or there are people that, okay, I can't really do that piece of it, but here's the ways that I can. And so I believe that anybody, and that's the mark of a good leader, is you're rising up in your profession, I believe, too, and just in your personhood. This is kind of my worldview, I guess. But you aren't arriving unless you're able to take who you are and what you have and give that forward to other people. And so I believe, we don't need to wait until we hit that pinnacle. But as we're starting to figure things out, help those other folks when they are where you were, or they're trying to figure something out too. Say, oh yeah, here you go, do this thing. And there's so much, it comes back at you too. It's really amazing how there is this synergy that comes to the relationships. And if it's not with that person, then just the way that it changes you while it changes them, it's valuable for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're both getting something out of it, right? The mentor and the mentee. Okay, and how can we train our teachers and our school counselors to be more than just school teachers and advisors for our students? Because essentially they're with the kids a lot of the time within the secondary school. But yeah, how can you do that?
One of the things that I have done a lot of work in these past couple years is emotional intelligence training. So the more, I think one of the things, especially within, there's a lot of mental health concerns and challenges right now, and schools are feeling the pinch, you know, and students and teachers and administrators are feeling this pinch. But the more we can understand how we are operating kind of internally within our own selves, that helps with the ability to kind of self-regulate and manage and help other folks learn how to do that as well. So this kind of emotional intelligence piece and this empathy, understanding that we are in this together, that we do have, there are so many situations that we really don't understand what goes on with people, whether it's our colleagues or our brother or a sister sometimes, you know, let alone our children and our students. So taking each day and recognizing that our students come in and they may have had some of the worst experiences so off just for the night, or they might have been part of something that or witnessed something, and so it can be hard, but we still have to excel, and we have to figure out how to refocus. And a good teacher, a good counselor is going to kind of help navigate through those things that the students cannot navigate in and of themselves, but also help them talk through those tools so that we're understanding it.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot more in the forefront of our vocabulary now. I mean, it's very openly spoken about mental health, and they call it a mental health day. And, you know, you don't have to be physically sick, but maybe you need a mental health day emotionally to not go to work that day, or I don't know, with school. But I hear it a lot now, kids talking about that, you know, recognizing your emotional health is so important too. I just love how we're becoming a lot more open in our society now and accepting. We have to. We live in a global world now. I mean, you know, it's just so much is out there, and mental health is a big one, huge. So nowadays, many children, teens, and even young adults are ashamed to ask for mentorship or to even recognize that they may even need a mentor sometimes is a problem. So how can we get rid of the shame of asking someone to be a mentor in our lives? I mean, someone may think that's a big ask. Why are you asking me something like that? You know? So what would you say?
Yes, do it. Just do the thing. There is no shame in asking. You know, the worst thing that can happen is you get told no. Right? There is no downside. And even if you don't get what you were hoping for in that relationship, and this is, again, one of those things I love to challenge my students with, is just give it a try. Fail, make a mistake. If that interaction is, maybe they give you that time and you meet them once and it is just awkward or it's not what you thought it was going to be, that's great. That's great. You've learned. Wow. And especially, you know, there is this layer with the way that the school systems are set up. We are built and we're spending all this time with our peers, right? With people who are, you know, there might be some diversity within your class, but you're eight in the same age with the same kinds of folks. And so to then start to realize when you're going into the workforce, it's really, really diverse from an age and culture and a generational perspective right now. Unlike anything that it's been before, we're really dealing with very big divides with kind of generational and cultural aptitudes, abilities, experience. Yep. And there's no shame in a willingness to learn. So if you have an opportunity, even if there is some fear built in, take it. Give it a try. What you learn when you work through those fear moments or those fail moments is, I survived. Right. That was really bad. I didn't like it. I don't want to do it again, but I survived. And that's done again and again and again and repeatedly. Then you start to get to the point, and that's, you know, you get to that point, like, eh. Okay, well, that didn't work out that well. I wish it was different. But then if you can be reflective about that, then again, you're winning because you're learning, you're growing, you're trying something out and you're realizing what works and what doesn't. Then next time you do it better, right, or you learn to do it different again. I love just an iterative lifestyle. Like, we just need to keep trying things, and eventually you get better and better at the things you're trying, and you'll find your place and you'll find your sweet spot.
Right. And I think failure is when you don't get up, is when you don't try. You know, you're not really failing when it goes wrong. You're just, okay, that way didn't work. You know, you get up and you try again. And I think a mentor can really help with that. So what would your advice, life lesson be to our listeners who, you know, want to be a mentor, or, you know, I don't know, get a mentor? What would your advice be, or life lesson around that?
Yeah, that is absolutely, go for these relationships. Whether you're young or whether you're old, age honestly shouldn't matter that much. What are those things that we are going after, or what we want to be? Who can we look at who is further ahead of us in that thing? So further ahead does not necessarily mean they need to be older or younger. It means whatever it is that they're really good at, they know their stuff, and how can I engage in that? Or I really am starting to know my stuff, or I do know my stuff, and what are ways that I can re-engage? To share that in ways that are accessible to people too, because obviously most of us need to make some sort of a living, but we're not making our living off of our mentors, right? We are making our living in these other ways and taking what we know and pouring it back out and offering it for free or for cheap. There are lots of programs that, you know, they're offering lots of valuable content. And then people with access or resources can get into kind of higher levels of programming, of service, of direct support. So there's ways to go about that. But each and every single one of us are going to have to continue to learn. We don't know. We don't know what kinds of work we're going to need to do 20 years from now. We don't know. We didn't know what COVID was going to do to accelerate this change. Many of these changes were already in the works. They were coming, but COVID just made it so quick. And we don't know what that next thing is going to be. And so if we keep learning and keep working with one another, we'll be able to build a network and build resources and capacity, both within ourselves and with those relationships we build that can sustain us when we do need to learn something new or make a change or pivot or transition or whatever those things are, because life throws curveballs, and that's part of, it's part of the journey, and it's part of the excitement if you can embrace it that way.
Because it will happen.
It will. And, you know, we can fight it all we want, but it doesn't do much good.
Right. And having a mentor or being able to guide someone who may have had a curveball thrown at them.
And it's, you know, going to be just okay. And that really is like, we're going to sort it out. Life will get hard at times. And here's how you know you can get back up again and you can do the next thing. And that is the benefit and the value in a good mentor-mentee relationship.
Wonderful. Wow. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for speaking with me today. I am so excited to have someone like you give such great information around something that we have done at LifeSmart. We've had a mentorship program. We were funded for 2 years by the state. And I think more programs like what we had in a mentorship program needs to be accessible because it's so, so important. Thank you so much for all the information you have given us today. And I will be telling our listeners about the offer that you are giving to speak with them later in our broadcast. But thank you so much again for being with me today.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you.
Take care.
We have a special surprise for our listeners. Ms. Biron will offer a free 30-minute consultation to a lucky listener. Please send us an email to info@lifesmarteducation.org requesting for your consultation, and we will pick a lucky winner who will have an opportunity to ask Ms. Biron any questions about academic advising, leadership, mentorship, entrepreneurship, or any other questions that you may have. Again, request a free consultation with Ms. Biron at info@lifesmarteducation.org, and we will make sure to send you an email following up on this special offer. So this is something we are giving to listeners of our program. And so if you would like this consultation, please don't hesitate to reach out to us with an email. Please keep in mind that the consultation will last 30 minutes and will be carried out through LinkedIn. Any questions for our listeners? Do you have a mentor? Please reach out to us and let us know your story. How has the mentor changed your life for the better? We want to hear from you. Email us at info@lifesmarteducation.org. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at LifeSmartEducation. Today's show was produced by Keith Richardson, edited and written by Christine Lopez and Manuel Lopez, no relation. Our social media producer is JD Johnson. Thanks to all of our Platinum Credit Group and our friends at WCBE 90.5 FM for sponsoring this podcast and making it possible. And I am your host, Patricia Demetrio. This is Grow Global. Thank you so much for listening.